on your FM dial or live streaming at WCOMFM.org.
And sweet, just as good as what I've got today. Now my wife has a good paying job. And me, well, I'm doing okay. But we're putting out 99 hours a week. Tell me who the hell's getting my pay.
I'm here, here with Lori Hoyt and our special guest, Minister Robert King.
When did we give it away? There's so much to do when the workday is through.
So we're
bring
on
back
the air.
The 8 hour day.
Every Wednesday from 5 to 6 o'clock. This is the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. And we're so delighted to have our guest today, who's a dear friend that we've known for a long time and have been working with for a long time, Minister Robert Campbell. Welcome.
It's a great day to be here. There's a lot to talk about.
Yes, there is.
But one of the greatest things I like to talk about is the new community center on Rogers Road.
Hooray.
The Rogers Road Community Center, the home of the Rogers Eubanks Neighborhood Association, and its summer enrichment camp.
And that you have been, I think, there practically every day?
Nearly every day.
I've heard that. I have not been there, but I've heard that you have been. And what has it taken, 40 years to get this community center? It's been a long time, long pregnancy, huh?
It's been. But when it was birthed, it went right into use every day. If we was open on Sunday, we will have more participation on Sunday. But that's not hindering our young people and their parents from coming out. They are using the facility, especially the recreational area on the side of the center. But it's a gathering place, a safe haven for the young people to come together and socialize.
For anybody who hasn't seen it, it's a lovely building. It's in the Rogers Road community. You just have to go off Homestead to Rogers Road and turn on Eugene.
Pure Four Drive, and then on the Eckert Road.
Yeah, and it's a building that's got classrooms. It's got a big meeting room, and as Minister Campbell said, outside there's a whole place to play basketball and other things. There's picnics out there, family gatherings. It's just beautiful. And it's been waited for a long time. But, boy, as soon as it was built, you all put it to good use immediately.
Went right to work.
Yeah.
Different community meetings, different organization is using the facility. One of the things that we got going on this weekend, we actually didn't realize how interested our young people was in outdoor camping.
Really?
So we're going to do a night out. They're going to get just to sleep out under the stars and the moon.
Oh, that's wonderful. At the community center?
At the community center.
Wow. So this is going to be what age kids?
Right now, the youngest one is 5 years old.
5 years old?
5 years old, all the way up to 17.
Oh, wow. So
yes.
The big kids can help sort of take care of the little kids.
Become camp buddies.
Camp buddies, I love
yes.
it. I love it, and I hope out there, there's not so many lights that you can see the stars. I hope.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
We don't have that many lights out there on Rogers Road.
Yeah, I live in town, so I get disappointed. I go out to look at the stars, and the lights are in the way, and I keep. Since my granddaughter lives out about 5 miles out in the country, and I said, "Can I come out some night?" I just want to see the stars, you know. I really miss that. Well, the kids, that'll be so wonderful for the children.
Yeah, they're very interested. Matter of fact, today they put together some of the tents they're going to be sleeping in.
Okay, so how many kids are going to be?
Right now we got about 18 of them signed up.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So you have that whole field off to the one side?
We got the whole field. We got the basketball court, the parking area, all that. That we can use to camp out on.
Oh, and I guess you're going to be having to cook out hot dogs or something and have a campfire?
Oh, we're going to do that. And then early in the morning, on Saturday morning, I'm going to bring about three of them, and we're going to do the breakfast. We're going to do the breakfast. We're going to have scrambled eggs, sausage, bacon, pancakes, muffins. We're going to have the whole nine yards.
Oh, wow. That is so wonderful, which leads me to bring up all of this things that you're doing, Don't Come Free. And I just wondered, is this a good time that maybe we should make a little plea or a pitch to say, you know, donations are appreciated and always will be well used? Or
oh, yes. I mean, it's something that that we would love to have to come in on a regular schedule.
Like a sustain, like they do with the UNC TV and radio now. They keep pushing being one of their sustainers and to have something come in each month so they can plan their budget by that.
Oh, yes. We would love to have some sponsors to provide us with finance that we can use for some of the different programs that we do. We have the after-school program. We got the summer enrichment camp, and we're trying to run it all year round to give our young folks a place to come that is safe. But at the same time, we're promoting social engagement. We are helping to cross over the socioeconomic and ethnic
differences.
And come together and become lifelong buddies. This life that we live is not a individual journey. It's that we must work together to make sure that we all enjoy life in a peaceful way, but at the same time make friends with those that we come in contact with so that we do have that quiet, peaceful life.
Well, I just, ever since I've known you, that is a vision I've always heard from you about getting that whole community. That community is ethnically quite diverse. You have the Karen people, Hispanic, Black, White. I don't know, am I missing any ethnic group?
Well, what our staff do sometime, we tell everyone that we are the ethnic melting pot.
The melting
for
pot.
For North Carolina.
You really are?
We have different culture represented out in the Rogers Road neighborhood. But the one thing that we become Rogers Road, Chapel Hill, Carver, Orange County, North Carolina resident, working together for a peaceful solution.
We're working together, and I know that that is the, as I say, ever since I've known you, that is a vision you've always talked about and worked towards, not just talked about. You walk the walk, not just talk the talk. That's absolutely for sure. And so there's a neighborhood with sort of in the middle of several neighborhoods that you work so hard to bring these different groups together. Do some of the parents also come to some of these things from these different groups?
Yes, ma'am.
That's
some
great.
Of the parents are even volunteering. Some of them have a volunteer to come out and cook some meals for snacks. And so once they get involved, and the thing about it is that the children are so excited about coming. I remember the first week when they was coming, they was almost drugged there. But now you almost got to drag them out because they don't want to go home. And but we tell them, we'll see you tomorrow. And so it gets the parents involved.
Yeah.
Because they come in and they see how active their children are and how well-behaved they are being and how they are participating with different groups. And so they are encouraged, so they'll come out and they'll come to drop off some snacks and they'll stay just to see how things are going. Can we help you do this? Can we help you do that? Sure, that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Can we come back and volunteer? Sure you can.
Yeah.
We're not turning down one piece of paper, whether it's writing paper or whether it's money. We give them an opportunity to volunteer to help out.
Yeah. So volunteers are also happily integrated and can be used and are needed because some of these kids will probably need some individual attention. So you also do some tutoring there?
Yes, our focus to help break down the barriers. We know about the inequities in education in our school system. But to help the process, it is not everything that happened in the school. It is how do we focus on integrating the parents and getting the attention of the students that it is your responsibility to grab hold to the knowledge that is being passed on. What you do with it and how you use it is to help make the community a better place mm-hmm. to live. Mm-hmm. Look at what you want to become mm-hmm. and focus on that and steer your attention towards that.
Mm-hmm.
And as I told them before, you know, that each one of the young campers that you're with today might be your business associate in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So the bonds you have today and the relationship you have with them goes a long way.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why we try to encourage the parents, to encourage them to be friendly when they're at camp. There are certain things that we don't accept, behaviors that we don't accept.
Mm-hmm.
But in that process, we try to teach them how to go beyond the bad behavior, to turn it around. And so we don't have no real problems out there.
So not just to stop this bad behavior, but this is the behavior that you want to try to do. That is so wonderful, because so many times in a lot of neighborhoods, especially with lower income people, the parents are working in the summer. The kids are stuck in there in front of the TV. Parents these days are afraid to let their kids out in the street like we used to play out in the street so much. So a lot of times the kids are in there just looking at TV, and what you offer is such a different thing for your whole community, where the kids have a place to go. There's adult supervision. There's interesting things to do and learn and have fun. That's just such a great, because the center's only been open what, less than a year?
Six months and 14 days.
Oh my God.
6 months and 14 days.
Well, you did hit the ground running.
We did. And our involvement with the young people goes beyond that. We carried them to there were so many of them that did not have library cards. So we set up a visit to the library, got a tour of the library. Some of them put in an application to get library cards. The library cards are ready to pick up. We're going to pass them out on the last day of camp.
Oh.
We carried them to the botanical garden. They got to enjoy that. We have carried them on environmental walks throughout the community. We got them working in the community garden. We didn't realize how young and active some of them wanted to be. We thought maybe those that was in kindergarten didn't want to go, that we said, okay, we just start off with the third graders. They said, no, we want to go. And they started crying. They said, we can't leave them behind. And they got out there, and they were more active in the garden than the larger kids.
Oh, I love it. And I can see that, because they're much less self-conscious when the younger ones. Yeah, they'll pour themselves into something more holy or easily. Older ones start getting that little self-consciousness a little bit more. In just a little over 6 months. Whatever the season is, you all have things going on. So after school, when school's on, after school stuff, the summer enrichment, that's for any kid in the neighborhood, whatever their age.
That's for any kid that lives within a driving distance. If they are coming from North Graham Street, or they're coming from Burnt Mill Road, they're coming from Highway 54. So if they're in the area and they want to drop their kids off, if, say, for instance, if they lived in Durham and their parents are working in Chapel Hill, they're more than welcome.
So you think of the neighborhood as way bigger than Rogers Road?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
I didn't realize that.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Because you have to think beyond Chapel Hill.
Yeah.
Because we want to instill in our young people a way of socializing.
Yeah.
When you go off, and we tell them, when you go off to college, we don't say if you go. We say when you go. So we encourage them to focus on that you're going to have to make friends wherever you go.
Yeah.
But in order to do that, you have to show yourself to be friendly. And they said, Minister, I said, no, it's not just something ministers say. My grandparents used to tell me that wherever you go, you represent grandma and granddaddy. Mm-hmm. So you have to show yourself to be friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And so we tell them that the universe is all theirs, but they have to take care of it.
Yeah.
And they have to make sure that they are making friends wherever they go.
So it's on many levels. It's academic. But one of the important things you've been emphasizing as we've been talking is about socializing and socialization and how to be with others and how to get that self-confidence.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
We you know, we even call them the ambassador of peace.
Oh, I love
that. So wherever they go, they got to act accordingly.
The ambassadors of
peace.
Yeah. So I don't know if we even got to mention that you are the head, what is it, the president?
The president.
Of the local branch of the NAACP.
Yes, ma'am.
And been working hard at that, what is this, about 3 or 4 years now?
It's coming up on the fourth year.
On the fourth year.
On the fourth year as a president, but been involved with the NAACP for many years.
But I've been trying to lead it in a good direction for going on 4 years. It's been a really important year for, important time for the NAACP. Thanks to Reverend Barber, the state NAACP has really inspired and galvanized a lot of energy in this state. Well, I must say the legislature's helped with galvanizing energy in this state. They managed to keep us all angry enough to get some energy going. So it's been an important time. And now nationally, this whole Black Lives Matter movement, there's just so much going on regarding racial issues that some people wanted to say quite a while ago that we were in a post-racial period. And I don't know where their heads are at, but was certainly getting enough national news to know that that is unfortunately not true. And it's been a really important time for the NAACP. It's really taken a leadership role, both nationally and in the state and in this community. I don't know whether we want to talk about some of the things that the NAACP is involved in our branch in this community.
Well,
like education.
It is so much that we're involved in.
So much.
It is hard not to say that we're not involved. We're involved in the educational equity movement.
Big involvement.
It's a big issue right now.
We are
working on a community-wide community meeting just to deal with the inequities within the school system. But we have
coming up, this forum?
This forum is coming up. We're looking at September.
25th.
The 25th of September. Mm-hmm. We'll be coming together again to really shape how that going to look. We are involved with organizing against racism. We also involved with several other equity organizations just to make sure that we bring everyone to the table.
Mm-hmm.
In most of our discussion about education, two are the voices that be missing, and that is the parents and that is the youth. And so we are focusing on bringing the parents in, bringing the youth in, and because the youth can tell us what is going on in the school. What is it that you want to see change,
mm-hmm.
and does that change help everybody?
Mm-hmm.
Our focus is how do we make our school environment an academic, successful venture for all our young people.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, we just can't say that the inequity affects the Afro-Americans or the low-income youth. It affects all of our youth one way or the other.
Oh, yeah.
And so when we focus on making the change, a policy change that is put in place to ensure that if one is almost falling through the crack, that we're able to identify it before they fall through the crack.
Before
they fall through the crack. Mm-hmm. Make sure that we have all the resources mm-hmm. that is in place to mm-hmm. that we can provide the right type of information and the right type of coaching that they might need mm-hmm. to successfully do their academic work. Mm-hmm. Even when they're talking about now going away from the hardback books to the electronic books and go out online and do your studies and things like that, then we have to think about it. Everybody do not have access to Wi-Fi internet service, nor do they have computers.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't just analyze and say, well, you know, if they use that money instead of buying them that $95 or that $105 pair of shoes, they could have got internet service. Okay, what good is internet service if you don't have the computer to go online?
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to try to make sure that we do that connection
mm-hmm.
To make sure that we have the right instructors in place. That's why we are focusing more on how do we get sponsors to come in and say, well, look, I donate five computers.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody come in and say, well, I donate 1 year of internet service.
Mm-hmm.
Those type of things where the parents can focus on making sure their child get to school,
mm-hmm.
make sure they have adequate sleep, and mm-hmm. the right food and equipment at home to embrace the gifts that is coming their way.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is a campaign that had been going on for quite a while,
mm-hmm.
and we began to see some results of it, but the results that we are seeing is moving slow.
Well, let me ask you, do the schools have a budget? I've read about some school districts where they give all the kids in a certain grade like a tablet or, you know, does the school supply any of this since they're now talking about having their education based on some of that? Are they supplying any of it for those?
Well, they have a program called Community Connect.
Okay.
And their goal is to make sure that each child have access to a mm-hmm. computer and mm-hmm. internet service.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, they are one of the organizations that came in and helped provide us with computers
mm-hmm.
that the kids can come in there and use the computer lab and do the homework
at
Rogers Road Community Center.
Mm-hmm.
And with that concept, we have some computers that we got from Crandom Institute that have been refurbished,
mm-hmm.
that we have setting aside.
What institute is that?
Cranman Institute. They over in Research Triangle.
Okay.
And they refurbish computers
uh-huh.
and put the upgrade on those computers.
Uh-huh.
And they actually sell some of them for $85. And some of them, they just come back and they refurbish them and they give them back. And so we are encouraging parents here in Chapel Hill school system, they have a couple hundred computers
mm-hmm.
that is waiting for the parents to say, I need them.
Mm-hmm.
Or the child let the teachers know that they need them.
Mm-hmm.
And that program is still active, I believe.
But so, then the parent has got to be sure to have the connection at home, the Wi-Fi connection.
Yes. And I think, like right now, with Google coming in, and with what Chapel Hill is doing, they're putting Wi-Fi in most all the public housing. And they actually,
are they?
Yes, they actually gave away,
wow.
I think it was like 15 or 20 computers. They had to go through the computer training class.
Uh-huh.
And at the end of the class, they get the computers. They got the Wi-Fi. All that set up. And so it's a process that not only is the NAACP and other organizations helping move things forward. But the town of Chapel Hill and Carver and the county, both they see the need, and mm-hmm. they're trying to work it out how to do that.
Well, that's encouraging, but like you say, it doesn't move as fast as one would hope.
Yes.
So, yeah. So they're trying to not have books in the school?
Well, that's what some of them are talking about, not having the hardbacks, but use the electronic, that you go out online and do everything that you need to do.
Yeah. And,
but at the same time, you know, the opportunity to read a book. That's why we have the library.
That's exactly my feeling.
To open
I'm
up that library.
Lover.
Yeah, to go to the library and access the library, because you still have to do your research.
Yeah.
And sometimes you need to open up the book. When you're out there online, sometimes you are distracted by so much other things. But when you sit down and read the book, it actually gets you excited about what you're doing, and you get involved in the
deeply
book.
Deeply involved, yeah.
And you become part of the action that is taking place in the book.
Yeah.
So you can go from romance to war, from war to political. And so you can change up. You can do the same thing online, but there's a difference when you sit there and read the book.
There is a difference.
Yeah.
So one of the big involvements of our local NAACP has been with education equity,
labor,
and labor,
housing.
Labor, I know, has been a big one. We've had some real tough labor disputes here. I was thinking of the sanitation too, and some other and right now the other big thing that the NAACP, I think, all over the country is involved with is also the raise up movement, about trying to get the low income workers up to $15 an hour. So that's something I know that we've participated in some protests about that. And then you just mentioned something else, labor and
housing.
Housing. Well,
yeah, affordable housing.
That's a big one in this community.
It is.
It's gotten to be a really overly rich community.
Well, you know, it takes you back when they saw the need for the firemen and the police officers and even the public work employees in Chapel Hill. That was working here in Chapel Hill, but they're staying in Roxburgh, staying in Alamance County. And they started a program many years ago down on Mill Road, where they built all those new houses. But at the end of that program, they're still was not making the money to maintain the homes if they got them.
Mm-hmm.
And so how do we make it, make that adjustment? You got the houses. So
I didn't
you
know
got
that
your
was
financial.
On Merritt Mill Road, really?
Yes, yes. You come down Merritt Mill Road, those houses, the new houses, sitting there to the right.
Yeah.
As you go down towards Lincoln Center.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Because I live on Merritt Mill Road, you know. Yeah.
That was part of that initiative that they started.
Oh,
but
for
then,
goodness sake.
According to some of the workers, that the economics just did not, wasn't able to keep them there.
Even with some help. Oh, okay. I think we're going to have a station break. We can catch our breath and ears take it away.
This is Wilt's Wake Up Call on WCOM LP Chapel Hill in Carver, underwritten by the Internationalist Bookstore located at 101 Lloyd Street in Carver. You can stream us live at WCOMFM.org. Did you have any announcements?
Well, I just wanted to say that I'm Lori Hoyt, that Iris Schwinzer is doing the board, and Emily O'Hare is doing the video camera. And our guest today is Minister Robert Campbell, who is the current head of the Chapel Hill Carborough branch of the NAACP. And also, I don't know what your title is with the Rogers Road group, but I know one of the hard workers there that working with the Rogers Road, the RENA, Rogers Eubanks.
Neighborhood Association.
Neighborhood Association. And what we've been talking about is really a joyful, with all the things in this world that break our hearts, a joyful thing is that after 40 years, just 6 months ago, they opened up the Rogers Road Community Center, which we've been talking about what good use. It's being put to as a community center for kids in that neighborhood, and they're defining the neighborhood as any kids within driving distance, which broadens it considerably, and also for the parents, a place for these several ethnic neighborhoods to come together and for the kids to learn to accept people of who are a little bit different, and to learn how to work together, play together, and Minister Campbell's vision is that they'll grow up and be business associates.
Oh, yes.
Together. We also have a friend over here, Chris Carlson, and she'd like to know, okay, who do you mail the money to? And if you want to help out the Rogers Road Community Center, how do you do that? And also materials, books, and art supplies. So what? How do people get in touch, and how do they help?
Well, they can make their checks out to the Rogers Eubanks Neighborhood Association, or just write R-E-N-A, Rena, and mail it to 101 Eggert. That's E-D-G-A-R Street.
Eggert.
Chapel Hill, 27516 North Carolina. Or you can send it to our P.O. Box, 16903 Chapel Hill, North Carolina, 27516. Make it out to the Rogers Eubanks Neighborhood Association. If you have school supplies, materials of any that you want to donate, we are there at the center 6 days a week from 7:30 until 6 p.m.
Oh, my
gosh.
You
can drop off your supplies. If you don't want to mail your checks or your money orders, you can drop them off. Minister Rose Caldwell will be more than welcome to accept that money, put it in the bank, and we'll use it for a good cause. We're looking to stuff at least no less than 550 book bags this year with school supplies, which is going to take place on August the 8th from 10:30 to 12. We will have a program which we will have a question and answer, giving information to the parents and the students from 10:30 to 12 at Faith Tabernacle Aces of Love Church, 8005 Rogers Road. You can bring your supplies there, and we'll transfer them down to the community center. And so then after 12 o'clock, we'll move down to the community center. We will have a program down there as well. We will also pass out the book bags, and we will have a day of fun and food. Everything is free.
And you do that. How many years have you been doing the book bash?
We've been doing the back-to-school bash for the past 20, I think this is going to be our 23rd year.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
That
we started off when Mr. David Caldwell Sr. and his wife, Sarah Caldwell, saw that there was a need in the community, and they opened up this rental property to let us use for a summer camp. And believe it or not, our first back-to-school bash, school supplies, was given out in brown grocery bags. We've come a long way since then.
You've come a long way. I've been familiar with it for the past, oh, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years, maybe 10. Before the community center was built, there was a little house. Is that where that you talked about it started? This sweet but small little house that y'all made into a fabulous community center, as small as it was. And so you to get all those book bags in there, it was pretty stuffed.
It was.
Now you've got room, like you said, you have different classrooms to put the different ages and the because there's different supplies needed, for elementary or middle or high school. So is 500, was it more like around 300 in other years, bags? How many?
For the past 5 years, we have come close to 525.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
But then at the end of it, there were so many to come by and say, well, you know, we didn't get no school supply. And so we had some funds left over. And then at the end of it, we said, you know, there was actually 555 book bags. And so we set our goal now to do 550 book bags. But we actually give away more than that because at the church, when we have our program, we have a question and answering session to see how much our young people know about their school district, how much they know about the political parties within their school district. Who is the mayor of Chapel Hill? Who is the mayor of Carver? Who is the police captain in Chapel Hill and Carver? Who is the sheriff of Orange County? And so we got 15 book bags, five questions geared towards the elementary kids, five toward the middle, and five for the high school. And so that's how we do that.
I love it. So this is a major, major undertaking, and how you pull it off every year, I don't know, but you do. And stuff in those bags, what, 2 or 3 or 4 days beforehand, that's another time you can use some volunteers, right?
Oh, yes.
Coming in and getting those book bags ready and to see the look on those little kids' faces. And then as they're showing each other their bags and they're so excited. It's just, boy, if you want just a really good high, that's a good one. Just go and be part of that because it's great fun. And the kids get such a kick. They're so excited. And then you have, it's like a big party. You have hot dogs and food and parents are there and everybody's just celebrating. It's just wonderful. I encourage anybody, if you want to just have a feel-good day and a busy day, just go on out there on August 8th and go out. So a few days beforehand, you could use help getting the bags ready.
Oh, yes. As soon as the summer camp is over on the 31st of this month.
Okay. That week.
That Monday, we will start doing what we have to do, going out. And we are looking for our funds to have come in by that time. Mm-hmm. And then we'll go around and we'll go and search out the best bargain for what money we have. Mm-hmm. And we'll begin to buy and stuff the book bags. The one thing I can say that encourages us to continue to do what we do, there are so many kind people here in Orange County that come out, they donate, and once they get there, they stay and help, and then they tell their friends, and next thing we know, we have all our book bag stuff, and we are ready for the next day. And then we say, well, okay, now we got to work on the food. Oh, you need food? Oh, yeah, we're going to do hot dogs, hamburgers. We were thinking about doing fish, but we don't know. But we're going to have those two basic things. We're going to have ice cream from Maple View. We're going to have the Coca-Cola truck out there. We're going to have the bounce house out there. It's going to be a day of fun and entertainment for the kids and for the parents. Unfortunately, we don't have a bounce house big enough for the parents to get in yet. But we are thinking about maybe some volleyball, some horseshoes, and things like that, you know. But we also said we're going to do the mile walk around the community that day. See how many want to get involved in that.
Yeah.
And so those are the type of things that we are focusing on. How do we keep our community active, educated, and healthy?
Yeah, and healthy.
Healthy.
Because
working together.
That's another thing that our local NAACP has a health committee.
Oh, yes.
And which people may not realize that. And with latest information on health issues, particularly as it might affect African Americans, but just basic health issues also. And, well, the NAACP, to me, is sort of like the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. We're multi-issue, you know, because we see the connection with all of these things. I mean, they're all connected. And Reverend Barber, that's what's wonderful about the Moral Monday and the HK on J, for anybody listening who's not aware, it's historic Thousands on Jones Street. HK on J, and that takes place the second Saturday?
Second Saturday in February.
In February, it's going into, is it the seventh or eighth year? one or the other, and this is way before people knew about going from Oral Mondays. It was the HKNJ, as Reverend Barber says, he was trying to build a movement, not a moment. And he has a 14-point agenda, which is all the things we're talking about health. And right now, of course, in this state, we're talking about expanding Medicaid so that 500,000 people who don't have health insurance will be covered. We're talking about education, talking about peace, talking about labor issues, all of the issues that we care about so much, and they all fit in together in terms of what kind of a community, what kind of a world we want to have. Yeah,
that's true. If we want to change the world in which we live in, mm-hmm. we must get involved. Mm-hmm. One of the slogans that we have when we are on HK on J, or whether we are at a rally like we were up in Winston-Salem, the question comes up, what do democracy look like? And we see the diversity that is out there. We want the Chapel Hill Carver branch to continue to look like what democracy should look like.
Yes.
We encourage those who are not members to go ahead and join the Chapel Hill Carver branch of the NAACP or the branch that is near you. When I think about the works that the Rogers Eubanks Neighborhood Association have been doing, how we got involved with Wilt have encouraged us to continue to do what we do.
Yeah. Wilt's been a big supporter.
Oh, yes. That's exactly years. What I'm talking about. Not only financially, but volunteering and giving us direction and guidance. And so we are easily steered in the right direction because we have so many great role models. To pick from.
And that's what a lot of people may not realize. The NAACP talk about multi-ethnic, this white, black, whatever, young, old, rich, poor, educated, not as well educated. It's a very diverse organization. And I don't know if everybody, especially those who are not members, realize that all are welcome. All are welcome.
Oh, and, yes. It's an organization that have open arms.
Open arms.
And once you walk into the arms and you lock elbows with each other, you find out that you have a mutual goal. And that mutual goal is, how do we make living better for everyone?
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about.
That's what it's all about. And I'm a very proud member, very glad to be a member. And this Saturday is going to be a retreat.
Oh, yes.
And, so that's going to be sort of planning what direction you're going to be going in the next several months or year.
Oh, yes. We already began to think about the Freedom Day program. We already began to think about the Freedom Fund banquet. We already talked about the HK on J.
Yes.
We're already waiting on what is the next move. Do we go back down to Raleigh tomorrow, Monday? Yes, we will. Yes, we will. Until the change come. And even after the change come, we want to make sure that the change stay in place.
Yeah, it's any of us in any peace and justice. Some of our members here are raging grannies. We have WILP, we have the NAACP, but the work for justice, it's a lifetime commitment. You don't just say, oh, now it's happened. I can just sit back and enjoy it. You can sit back and enjoy it, but you got to keep on marching.
You got to keep on marching.
You
got to
keep on marching too, yeah.
That's one thing about it. When a drummer started beating the beat, even after he strike the skin on the drum, the beat keep going on.
Keeps going.
It's just like throwing a rock in the river. The ripple keep on going till it hit the bank. When it hit the bank, it comes back.
Yeah.
And so it's always moving. Yeah. It is a movement, not a moment.
It's a movement, not a moment. So have we left anything out? Well, I just want to remind people who we're talking to. We're talking to Minister Robert Campbell, who is the president of the local branch of the NAACP and also one of the long-term and busy members of RENA, the Rogers Road community. And so you are working really hard this summer at the Summer Enrichment. And, yeah, and I hope you – so you have other volunteers helping?
Yes, we have several volunteers. But one of the things that we have been able to do for the second year, we were able to put in some application through the work program that the town of Chapel Hill have initiated. And so we have four interns that the town of Chapel Hill, through their funding, is paying for them to come out there to work. And we're giving them a lot to do. We have anywhere in the morning between 7:30 and 12 o'clock, we have about 35 kids.
Wow.
After 12 o'clock, it jumps up to 54. And so the only thing that we say, wow, it's not every day that we have 54, but it never falls under 42.
Well,
so we
that
have
place is hopping.
It is.
And I know Emily O'Hare, who's on our team, who's doing the video camera today, has started volunteering there. And she's a retired reading teacher, so I'm sure her skills are well used.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I think when
you want to say anything, you can get a word in edgewise.
I think when they hear her voice, they are ready for her to come in and start doing what she do.
It's really been a pleasure working there. The kids are great, and the staff is wonderful and welcoming, and I've really enjoyed it. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you for your volunteering.
Yeah, so we're also making a plea for more volunteers, and we're also making a plea to keep Rogers Road Community Center in mind when you are thinking of what donations are you going to make this particular month. And you can mail a check, make it out to Rogers Road Community Center or to RENA, yes. R-E-N-A, and mail it to, what is it again?
That's 101 Eggert Street, Chapel Hill, North Carolina, 27516, or our P.O. Box, 16903.
That's what I wrote down, P.O. Box.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so mail those checks in, or if you want to stop, and if you've not seen this community
come
center.
Come out for a tour.
Come visit.
Yeah, you will be so glad. It'll just be a highlight of your day. It's just a beautiful building that the community is so proud of and is using so totally. And so they're open from 7:30 to 6, 6 days a week. So there'll be always somebody there. You can bring materials, books, and supplies. There's going to be 550 book bags that need to be filled by August 8th. Oh, and you wanted to also, thank you, Iris reminded us about the sewer line.
Oh, yes.
To go from the sublime to something as important.
Going from the concept to the design. We're going to have, actually, we are inviting people to come out to a community meeting. They're going to take place on Tuesday, July the 28th, 2015, at 6 p.m. at the RENA Community Center at 101 Eckerd Street, Chapel Hill. We need people to come out, especially those that live in the Rogers Road area. If you're living on Eubanks, Homestead, or anywhere in that vicinity, to come out and encourage the politicians, let's go ahead and do the right thing. We need safe drinking water. We need sanitation or wastewater infrastructure to make sure that we sustain the community, to keep the community intact. We're always talking about affordable housing. This is a community where there is affordable housing, but how do we keep it that way?
Mm-hmm.
If some of the residents start losing capacity for their sanitation or waste, then we might lose that property as affordable property. So this is an opportunity to just to show up, encourage our politicians to do the right thing.
Which they've been promising, but you've got to keep after them. And for anybody who's relatively new to the community or doesn't know, I won't go into the whole history of the background, but the Rogers Road community has been having the landfill there until this past year or two.
2013.
And the landfill is there 40 years ago and promised to be only there 10 years. So they've had all this landfill, which has caused contamination of wells, all kinds of other health issues. And so for a long, long, many, many years, the community has promised to make it up to the Rogers Road community. But then every time it's time to act on that, oh, well, we don't know where the money's coming from. Oh, well, we have to think about it some more. So the 10 years has dragged out to be 40-some-odd years. So that we're still working on holding their feet to the fire about this sewer line. And
so true.
But you all are so persistent and have never given up, and you've got the community center, and we just got to keep after them for this last piece of work to be done to keep this community the beautiful community that it is.
So true.
Because you're right, there's affordable homes there, but if we don't keep the infrastructure working right, all those homes could be at risk.
Yes, that is true.
Yeah.
We have some good people in place now, town of Chapel Hill, Carver, and especially Orange County. Orange County took the lead on everything that's moving forward.
Really? Good.
They are encouraging that the struggle is still there, but it's not as tough as it used to be. There's a lot
progress.
Of flexibility there
to
move forward with this. And I think... I think that with there's leadership and a lot of things are changing. Matter of fact, with the works that's going to be taking place, they took the leadership on that and they brought forth change. And I think the consensus now is that there is something that needs to be done because of the development that is taking place and how you put all the pieces together to make sure that the community is moving forward together.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I did not talk about is that one of the things that was also promised was bus service. We never really got full bus service.
Really?
And so now we're also working on that we're going to be having a discussion about that as well. How do we change the bus service so that it is equitable for all that live out there in the area? Because one of the things that were promised to some of the homeowners was that if they build out there, especially in the habitat development, there would be adequate transportation to get them back and forth to work. But it don't do that. So they either have to buy a parking pass, and some of those parking passes can cost more than $200-some dollars. And so it take something out of the household when you have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so also when you got maybe 30 cars, one passenger in that car going to work because they work different shift, then you end up with a family that have two cars and one person going in each car.
Mm-hmm.
The carbon footprint that we are creating, it also helping pollute the air. But if we put them all on, everybody get a chance to ride on the bus, we can cut down on the carbon footprint.
Because there's two habitat developments out there.
Oh, there's
there, right?
three. There's three.
Oh, my gosh. So there's a lot of people who would be very happy to ride buses.
Oh, yes.
So, if you need any of us to go to a town hall when there's any protest about transportation, just let us know. We'll be right out there with
you.
We'll
do that.
Yeah.
We'll do that.
So there's always something to work on. So those are two biggies. Sewer lines and bus transportation.
Yes.
Are two biggies. And that's something I didn't think about. With people working at the hospital, they could be on very different shifts.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't get a bus,
You got to drive in.
Yeah.
There's no other way.
Yeah. So,
until we make the street bike friendly. I would love to ride a bike at night, but you don't want to ride a bike down Homestead Road until they get some more light and make the road wider.
Yeah.
It's not a good thing.
Yeah, that's the other thing. They keep saying we're a bike-friendly community, but I'd sure hate to ride a bike around here very much. It's pretty scary. I mean, I see some of these young people, and I just say a little prayer for them. See them whizzing by. And so Minister Campbell, we still have a few more minutes. I guess we should mention again, August 8th is the back to school bash. Bash. And then September 25th, and we'll be doing more information on this show about that. It's going to be an education forum, because we've been working for, what, 2-3 years now for sure on having the schools be more, have better equity outcomes, definitely. And I think it might be at Northside. I don't think it's been determined yet.
We have not determined yet, but we're focusing on that. We're trying to keep it in a central area where there will be adequate parking.
Yeah.
And a large enough facility that can accommodate the expected crowd.
Yeah.
And if we need to do a meal, they got an excellent cafeteria there.
Okay.
Even if we have it catered in, they have plenty of room for people to sit down and eat. We'll probably do two breaks. So one of them will probably be just a stretching break, and then the other one will probably be a lunch break, and then.
So this is on a Saturday?
Yes, we're looking for that to be a Saturday.
And so it'll start in the morning?
Yes.
Okay, so it may be a whole day thing or a half day. We're not sure yet.
Not sure.
Okay. So stay tuned, because if you care about kids and education, whether you have your own kids in school or not, what's happening with education affects us all also. And then August 8th, try to come out and celebrate with the Rogers Road community and all those wonderful kids. So on an average day, you have 42 kids over there. Whew. That is just wonderful.
It's, you know, we have a great staff. We have some great interns that have come in to help us. And these interns have become big buddies to the young people there. And so even though we might break them up in little groups and change them out, they go to reading, then they go to math.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go to the computer room,
mm-hmm.
and then they go outside for activities, and then they come back in
mm-hmm.
And start the rotation all over again.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are focusing more on the academic side of it,
mm-hmm.
but we also take them out for physical education. It's been so hot lately, they'd rather stay inside, but then they'll go in and out. And so it's I can say one thing about it, you know, that even in the heat of the day, as long as they get enough water and give a chance to come in and get some AC, and they go back outside, everybody's happy. It gives us a chance to clean up the place and get it ready for the next day.
Yeah, great. Well, we've got 2 minutes left. We've been talking to Minister Robert Campbell from our local branch of the NAACP. This is the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom's radio show, affectionately known as WILP. And I'm Lori Hoyt, and we have Emily O'Hare on the video and Ira Schwitzer on the board, and Chris is just kibitzing. Chris Carlson is here helping us out, and so it's just been delightful to have you. It's been a while just to have you back, and you know, you are just a treasure to this community.
Well,
and we're so glad that to hear all that you're doing, and we want, some of us will try to volunteer and be a part or bring some supplies over. So good luck to on the sewer line. And what date was that about? That was on the July 28th.
No, July the 28th
at 6 p.m. Okay, so there's a lot going on, but August 8th is the biggie coming up.
Yes.
Okay.
You're listening to WCOM LP Chapel Hill Carver.
Tune in for Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater, Tuesdays 10 a.m. to 11 a.m., right here on WCOM LP, Chapel Hill, Carborough, your community radio station.